don't know what it is, but we're champions. Oklahoma, we've been it.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Trail Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Crittenden and Brian Clement.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are excited that softball season is underway, which I think both Brian and I fall into that category, as well as a lot of people around the country, particularly in Norman, with OU softball season starting up Thursday. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon. Thursday, a lot to be excited about. We're going to get into all of that and more on this edition of the Oklahoma Drill, a podcast fueled by OU Insider and the Rivals Network. I am joined, as always, every week by Coach Brian Clinton, Sir, Esquire, third and fourth. And fifth? Do they just do third? Or does it go fourth? And can you just keep going?
I think you can. I would imagine. I tagged you in something and referred to you as Jesse Crittenden the fourth earlier this week, if you don't remember. So I can go to the fourth. That's what I did.
I missed that. I apologize. Now I feel like
you'll see it at some point, I'm sure.
I wonder how far back anyone's ever gone. Like, can you be, is there like a 12th somewhere like in the olden days? Like
I would imagine. Yeah. Just
John Smith, the 13th.
Probably.
I would love to know. That's not what people are here they're not here to listen to us banter about numbers. It's a numbers discussion. That's not what they're here for. We are talking about OU softball and softball landscape at large. Again, you know, with softball starting tomorrow in Puerto Vallarta for a tournament there. They open with Utah Valley and Duke at 10:30 and 1 doubleheader. flowsoftball.com is where you can watch it. So by the time this comes out, it'll be just a couple hours before softball season gets underway, but it's a Thursday Friday tournament for OU softball. There was OU softball media day on Monday, and this is a pretty interesting season for OU softball, Brian, because, you know, I've gone through the numbers. I mean, they have 10 upperclassmen. Five of them have been such key contributors and have been with OU their entire careers. Jada Coleman, Tiari Jennings, Kenzie Hansen, Riley Boone, and Nicole May. They've been dubbed the core five, although Jada Coleman said Alyssa Brito should be the core six, but she started at Oregon. But right. it does feel like she's always been there. But Brian, it's so interesting because they returned so many key players. They returned 70% of their hits from last year, 68% of their runs. You feel like, you know, I mean, this is undisputed, unanimous number one team in the country, the favorite to win a fourth consecutive title. But half of this team are newcomers. They're either freshmen or players that transferred in. So I think it makes it like there's a lot of stuff you do know. But there is some stuff you don't know. And Patty kind of alluded to that. She said this opening weekend is going to be, there's going to be a lot of experimenting. They're going to unload the bench and kind of see where things fall. She said a couple of different things. One of the big questions was who's going to replace Grace Lyons at shortstop. It's going to be Tiari Jennings. Yeah. She's going to slide from second to shortstop. So now there's a battle at second base. And also there's a battle in the outfield, particularly at right field. It'll be Jada at center and Riley Boone in left field. But the right field, there's still a battle going on there. And Patty made it sound like that's a battle that's going to be ongoing, even as the season starts. And then you think about, obviously, Jordy Ball, replacing Jordy Ball in the circle, and the amount of pitching depth. We've talked about the pitchers, how much depth OU has there. I think they have six quality pitchers there. And then replacing Haley Lee, a designated hitter, and who was a huge part of last year's run. She was huge in the postseason, just massive. So again, doesn't it feel like this OU softball team, there's a lot you do know and there's some you don't know. And I mean, doesn't it feel that way going into this year?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I think the unanimous number one overall pick and all of that, like it almost feels as if, that's been the norm the last several years. Like, of course, Oklahoma is going to be the best team in the country. And I 100% believe that they are the best team in the country, but I think it's almost just like this respect to what Patty Gasso has built there. And also that core group of seniors, as you alluded to, I mean, those guys, they don't know what it's like to not be a national champion at the end of the year. And like, that's incredible to think about. And so with that leadership, it's huge. I mean, the bats are still there, as you said, statistically speaking, they're returning most of their production offensively. You know, the pitching staff, I guess you could call a concern, is not really a concern because of who they landed in the transfer portal and who they return. But the new names that are going to be added into the lineup and into the rotation, you know, they're not scrubs, which is crazy. Like, you know, it sounds funny me saying that. Of course they're not. They're playing for Oklahoma, but like Kelly Maxwell is a 2-time All-American at Oklahoma State. She led the Big 12 in strikeouts last year. I think she had 228 or something along those lines. I mean, just incredible talents. And a lot of these pitchers that are coming in are going to be playing on a legitimate staff for the first time, where they're not having to pitch, you know, 150 innings a year. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really interesting to see who ends up taking that spot at second base, because Tiari was so good there. But I think it's a good, I think getting her at the shortstop spot with Grace Lyons being gone, I think is probably a better utilization of her skills. You just need to find somebody at second, but I'm not afraid, that they're going to have problems finding somebody with how many capable bodies and capable players they have, on that infield.
Well, and I think that transition just makes sense for Tiari. She grew up playing shortstop, for one, and two, right. She grew up playing travel ball with Alyssa Brito, playing shortstop alongside Alyssa Brito playing third base.
Right.
So Alyssa even kind of said that on me today. She was like, it's kind of fallen back into old habits in some ways. It's interesting. I think the other thing, too, we've talked about the pitching staff, but one thing that Patty kind of alluded to is, I mean, you look at the softball landscape and how much college softball is getting further and further away from leaning on one person too much.
Right.
And Patty's talked about the experience, like the pitfalls of that. You look at last year with this three-headed monster of Nicole May, Jordy Ball, and Alex Duraco. Really, for the most part, they completed most of the games that they played for the most part. She rotated them evenly. But they pitched the majority or all of those games that they played. The one thing that I thought was really interesting was she basically said, we're looking for, I mean, she not only alluded to the fact that all six are going to play, but she said that she's looking for like a starter, a middle, and an end. Like, I think there's going to be a lot more games this year where we see not only two pitchers, but three or even more in a single game. And I think we're going to see that especially early, but that just makes sense with not only Nicole May. And I mean, it was a 0.91 ERA last year. You go down, I mean, you mentioned Kelly Maxwell, who's one of the most decorated pitchers in college softball. But yeah, I mean, Peyton Monticelli and Carly Keeney and Kirsten Deal and SJ Guerin. I think there's going to be games where we see like, not only a bunch of them in one game, but like combinations, like different combinations from game to game. I got the impression from listening to Patty that she's not, for one, she said this team has more depth, or she basically said they have more depth than they ever have, but there's a lot to figure out. And I kind of got the impression Patty's going to get a little weird with it. That's kind of the impression I got from her. Doesn't that maybe even from a fan perspective, especially, you know, with OU softball winning three in a row, they're looking for their fourth, or the favorites to do so. the season can kind of be of a can kind of be a grind, but don't you think from a fan perspective that adds some excitement to think about, man, we could see, I mean, outside of like the core players, we could see some really interesting, weird combinations at, in the circle, at second base, in the outfield. Like, doesn't that make it fun?
Yeah, it's well, and the first thing I think of is I feel really bad for those batting rotations that have to face a left-hander in Kelly Maxwell and then a right-hander in Nicole May and then back to a left-hander in Kirsten Deal, or like they throw Carly Key, like adjusting to that in game when you're facing players who were, you know, one of, if not the top players in their respective recruiting classes in the circle. Like, I mean, that's just going to be difficult. That's really tough. And yeah, the other thing is, I think with Patty saying that about her depth, the depth of her team this year, I think you're going to get to see just why Oklahoma has been so good over the last several years. Sure, you've had the star power, right? Like, there's always been the Jocelyn Allos and the, you know, the Jada Colemans, obviously. And then you had Jordy Ball, obviously, last year. Really blossom into a true superstar in the sport. But the depth that this team has had over the last several years, where, you know, you start to see some players in games where Oklahoma's up 20-0 after four innings, you get to see some of those players start to cycle in. And I think you're going to get to see just why this team is as good as it has been. And that's because the depth that they're facing in practice and the depth that this team is using, like they've got a ton of athletes that are ready to contribute and would be contributing anywhere else, you know, as a starting player anywhere else in the country. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fun season, and it's going to be a season where I feel like Oklahoma softball fans, not only just to be excited about Love's Field and everything that comes with that, but you're getting to see this team and who the leaders of this team are going to be when OU finally does transition over into the SEC, because that group of seniors is gone after this year. So you're going to have to see some of these new players come up and establish themselves. And I think that's going to be really fun.
I asked Patty about that. It's funny you say that. I asked Patty about that specifically. I said, is there a balance between, and she, I mean, her opening statement, she said, I hope everyone appreciates this monumental group of seniors and seeing them play for the last time and what they've done for this program. But you can't just be sentimental, right? You're not only looking to win a fourth straight title and you're the favorites to do so, but you also kind of have to bring in the new generation. And I asked Patty about that, is like, what is that balance between not only being sentimental, but also leaning on this veteran experience, but also trying to nurture these younger players and these newcomers. And she said, like, she's leaning on the upperclassmen. She's leaning on these seniors to bring these freshmen and sophomores along with them. I it was a really interesting quote. Patty said something like, I asked all of them, who was that senior for you when you came in? Who was the senior that helped you? Don't you want to be? And like all of them had a name. And she was like, don't you want to be that for somebody? Don't you want to be that for one of these freshmen? It was a really cool answer. And you mentioned those newcomers. I think one of the more interesting things that she said was talking about this freshman class specifically. She bragged about this group of four. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to get to see Nellie McEnroe Marinas this year. Unfortunately, she's going to redshirt. She's had a surgery. She's going to be out for the year. But this other group of three, I mean, she mentioned Cassidy Pickering's hitting. I think they're really excited about Maya Bland. But she said, quote, we've got to get Ella Parker in this lineup.
Ooh, man.
I thought that was really, we've got to get her in it. She was like, I know that for certain.
Yeah,
and that's interesting because not only is Ella Parker, I think there was some question during fall ball whether she was going to push Sydney Sanders at first base. That's not the case. Sydney Sanders is going to be at first like she was last year. Mm-hmm. But Ella Parker can play the outfield. But also, if she's got to get in the lineup, does she do it playing outfield? Does she do it as a designated hitter? Does she do it as a pinch hitter? I think, and like you were mentioning the depth this team has had, also the strategy involved. Mm-hmm. Just look at the stats from last year and the amount of players that saw time and the way they saw time, either being moved around the field or being used as a pinch hitter. I mean, two of the players they don't have from last year, Jocelyn Erickson and Sophia Nugent, those were players that were used a lot as pinch hitters.
Yep.
But it was really interesting to hear her say, we've got to get Ella Parker in the lineup. Got to get her in it. That's like, to me, I think not only this opening weekend, but these first few weeks outside of that top group, you're going to see a lot of different stuff. I think Patty's going to not unload the bag of tricks, but she's going to put pretty much everybody on the field. And then you look at the rest of the storylines, man, this has the potential to be one of the most memorable seasons in not only OU softball history, but college softball history. Specifically for OU, they're looking for a fourth straight title, which has never been done. They became the second team to win three in a row last year. This is their final year in the Big 12, and they're opening at Love's Field, a new arena a new stadium in March. This is an interesting set of circumstances. I think the other thing I would say is not only Jada Coleman kind of emphasized finding joy in the grind, but Patty is, I mean, I think there is this idea that it's not a given that they're just going to win a fourth straight title.
Oh yeah.
There's so many storylines. There's so much emphasis and focus on this team. I think my message would be for fans just to enjoy it. Enjoy this group of seniors. Enjoy if OU rattles off a bunch of wins, you know, appreciate that it's not effortless, even if it looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
I get the last thing I'll ask you is for OU softball specifically, what are you most curious to look at an opening weekend? Is there a position group? Is there a position on the field? Is there a roster decision, a coaching decision? Is there something you're most excited to look at through opening weekend?
So last year, if you'll remember, it was obvious that this team was dealing with the pressures of the streak and winning constantly and living up to this perfection that they had created for themselves and all of that came with it. Like, you know, of course there was celebration whenever the team won the national title, but you could feel it. Like it was tangible. The relief, like this, oh, it's over. Like we can breathe. And mm-hmm. you know, I get to an extent when you're chasing perfection, there's always going to be some of that dynamic. But I'm really curious, especially with Oklahoma playing two top 10 teams in the preseason, top 25 in their opening weekend, I'm really curious to see just how freely they're playing. Just what kind of dynamic do they have on the field? Because the streak is still there. And I'm, you know, it may not be something that any of them have talked about or dealt with in the offseason because, you know, obviously football it takes precedent on Twitter and things like that. But now that softball's picking back up, you know, it's not going to be long before you hear 54 games, 55 games. Like, you know, you're going to start hearing those things. And, you know, I'm just curious how this group really responds to that. Not that I have any doubts about how they'll respond to it because they've, you know, obviously this is the same group that went through it. But, you know, you could almost feel that. And part of me felt not sorry for them, but like, you know, I don't even really know what word to use there, but it's, you could really, you felt there was this emotion towards, you almost felt like at what cost are they this successful? Is it really, how much pressure is that really putting on them as people?
It was hard.
Yeah. I mean, it was
really hard.
You could tell, like, even with Patty even got emotional about some of it, like it, and it was tough on this group. And so, you know, I'm really curious and looking forward to, I'm anxious to see, you know, what kind of attitude, what kind of motivation that this group has coming into a new year.
That's a really good point, not only because of the pressures on this team, but also because the college softball landscape continues to get better and better. The parity The strength of different teams. And you know why it was so hard on OU last year? It wasn't just the expectations. It wasn't just the winning streak. It was a bunch of things, but also because it was hard. They ran into Clemson gave them an absolute battle in the super regional game too. Stanford pushed them to the limit in the Women's College World Series twice. Florida State pushed them in game two of the World Series final. It's clear softball is just getting better and better. And so when we're thinking about this quest for a fourth straight championship for OU softball, not to mention their last year in the Big 12, the target couldn't get any bigger on their back. It just couldn't get any bigger. Now, Brian, last year, I was actually a little surprised outside of that non-conference loss to Baylor. They didn't really get pushed in conference play. Not really.
Right.
You even think like 2 years ago, they at least lost to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament championship. Now they have Kelly Maxwell. So that irony, but they didn't really get pushed. They kind of went through. And I think even that same year, they've lost to Texas before in the past, right? Mm-hmm. Last year, they didn't really get pushed. You look at this year's Big 12 landscape, and I think there's teams all across the country that are going to be really, really good and hard to deal with. And you even mentioned they play Duke and Washington
mm-hmm.
this week for opening weekend. Those are two top 10 teams. We look at the Big 12 landscape. I mean, OU was obviously picked as the favorite to win not only the national championship, but the conference championship, unanimous pick. You look at the rest of it. I mean, Texas, actually, they weren't unanimous. I apologize. They weren't unanimous to win the conference championship. But Texas finished second. Oklahoma State finished third, despite losing Kelly Maxwell. Baylor finished fourth. When you look at this field, I think it's pretty interesting. I'm actually pretty high on Baylor myself. I think Baylor could sneak up on some people this year.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is hard to judge because, I mean, Texas is really good. They've been really good for years. They made it to the final 2 years ago. But last year, I think not making it to the Women's College World Series was pretty disappointing for mm-hmm. them to not even make it. And then you look at Oklahoma State, and they just lost Kelly Maxwell. You look at this landscape, Brian, is there a challenger or challengers that could make – that could push OU softball a little bit more than they were pushed last year?
Let me start by saying, I think that this is going to be the most competitive Big 12 conference race that we've seen in probably 7, 8 years, 9 years, probably. Not only do you have the Oklahoma States and Texases that have been Oklahoma's biggest competition in recent years, but BYU, a lot of people don't realize BYU has won like 16 conference titles in their last 20 years. Like it was in the Mountain West and West Coast Conference and all of that, but still that's a proud program that hasn't finished any worse than third in their conference standings since their current coach took over. So that's a proud program. UCF has, by my rankings, three of the top 20 players in the Big 12 coming in this year. So they're going to be really, really good in the circle. They've got a couple of offensive weapons and Chloe Evans and Jada Cody that are going to be really good for them. So those are teams that I look for. I think the biggest competition in my mind is Texas. The reason why I followed Texas fairly closely with my stuff over at Heartland over the last couple of years. And Texas last year ran into Tennessee in Knoxville in that super regional, which, you know, that was a really good team. I think what a lot of people don't realize with Texas is how many contributors they had that were freshmen last year. So you have several players. You've got Citlali Gutierrez, Ashton Maloney, Viviana Martinez. All of those guys were all Big 12 freshmen, first team selections for the freshman team. And then you throw in Leanne Good and Reese Atwood. Like, I've got a list of them over here. These are freshmen that made big impacts for them last year. that's a dangerous team. I mean, that's a team that has another year of experience. You know, I'm not going to directly compare them to what Oklahoma has as seniors now, but it's like Texas has this group of players that all came in together and they're changing some things about how they do things down there in Austin. And so that team, I think, is going to be really good this year. And if they can catch fire, like we've seen them do at times in the past, I think that's another good team. They also added Jolie Mitchell, which, if you're not familiar with that name, all ACC first teamer from Notre Dame last year, plays infield, is going to be a big contributor for them as well. So that's a team that is kind of built to compete with Oklahoma. Oklahoma State has some more questions than typical. We've kind of grown used to them being like immediate number two over the last several years, right? Because they've been back to the Women's College World Series the last 4 years. The only other team to do that is OU, obviously. They have some more question marks. I still really like what they have in the circle. Obviously, they've got Lexi Kilfoyle, and she's going to be amazing for them. But I worry, how much are they going to have to lean on her? I do know they brought in Carolyn Wang from who was teammates with Carly Keeney at Liberty last year and was an all A-Sun pitcher for a couple of years. But, you know, how much does that dynamic work? Do they get things figured out in the circle? I think they will. Long story short, I think there's five teams, as crazy as it sounds, I think there's five teams capable of winning 40 or more games in this conference this year. And BYU is like number six. Like, and those are six really good, solid teams. You don't know what you're going to get out of Houston, Iowa State, Kansas. You're not really sure what you're going to get out of those teams, or Texas Tech, really, for that matter. But those top six teams in the conference, it's as deep as it's been in a long time. And I think the race is going to be fun.
And you go on teams, and it's again, we think portal and football, but good, they've been active in softball. I mean, my goodness, it's been active, and you see teams be able to be transformed. Look at Oklahoma, the newcomers they have this year compared to last year. The transfer portal had such a big impact. You mentioned Texas and Oklahoma. I agree with you for one. I don't think OU is going to get through conference play quite as easily as they did last year for a number of reasons. For one, it gets harder every year. It just, every year, once you win a championship, the hardest one to win the next one. It just always is.
Yeah.
Two, they're leaving the Big 12. I think that puts the target even bigger on them. And three, I think you're right. I think for the most part, I think there are teams in this conference that can really challenge them. I think Texas is going to come back with a vengeance. They were the only team, I believe, outside of OU that had more than one player on the Big 12 preseason team, I believe. I think that's right.
I think you're right. Because Dariana Orme didn't make it on for Baylor, which I was kind of surprised by. But yeah.
Yeah, I was too. And man, we didn't even really talk about Baylor, a team that not only won 40 games last year and was the only team to beat OU. And actually, that conference series was decently competitive. Mm-hmm. A couple of those games were really competitive. They returned so much production from last year. And I think OU is going to have to juggle a lot. They're going to have to figure out this roster. As much talent as there is on this roster, they're going to have to figure it out. Not to mention, again, OU really leaned on Jordy Ball last year. Now, Kelly Maxwell 2 years ago at the Women's College World Series was fantastic. She was incredible.
Amazing.
She was fantastic. She's proven it. But, again, I've said this before, I don't know if OU wins the championship last year without Jordy Ball. As good as that offense is, as talent and as much depth is on that team, it's just hard. I think this conference schedule is going to be pretty interesting to watch. I mean, OU go to Kansas, they go to Texas. Man, that three-game series at Texas in April, that's gonna be real fun. They go to UCF, which that's just a new ball game for OU. Yep. Their home matchups, their home conference series are with Baylor, BYU, Houston, and Oklahoma State, which again, that Oklahoma State series in May is going to be must see TV.
Yep.
If you had to project, even if, I mean, we plan our, you know, I've covered OU athletics the last 3 years. You plan your vacation after the Women's College World Series because you assume OU softball is going to make it there.
Correct.
Right. even if they don't get challenged in, or like, even if they don't see a significant challenge in conference play, I mean, what do you, I mean, are there any teams in this field that you confidently can say, I think they're going to be in Oklahoma City in late May and early June. I think they're going to be there.
I do. I actually feel good about several teams being there, which, you know, is crazy to say this early on, but I think a lot of the teams that ESPN's top 25 has kind of ranked right up there near the top, they got it really good. You know, obviously Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma will be there again. Tennessee last year was really good. I see them coming back this year. They do have a couple of pieces to replace, but that roster is still really good. Again, transfer portal helps there. Stanford and Florida State are two teams that should be back again. And if you notice, all three of those teams are teams Oklahoma had to deal with last year in Oklahoma City. So I think all of those teams are back. Texas.
Nigeri Kennedy. Sorry to interrupt, no, but Nigeri Kennedy for Stanford.
She's a truth.
I mean, if she didn't spook everybody in the country last year with how she did against OU, she did. Sorry, let me rephrase that. She spooked everybody.
Yeah.
Not just Oklahoma. She spooked everybody.
Yeah.
I think I genuinely think as great as a lot of pitchers are, Kelly Maxwell is one of them, Nicole May. I think it was Jordy Ball and Nigeri Kennedy last year.
Oh,
it was no those
question.
Two
yes.
at the
yes.
top.
One
it just
two.
Was.
Yep.
Yeah.
I before Jordy's performance in the finals, I would have maybe even given Kennedy like a leg up just on what she did to Oklahoma's bats. Like, just yeah. Incredible. She was so good. Yeah, she'll have them back in Oklahoma City. I actually think Texas is going to make it. I think Texas is a team
agree with you.
That can make it there. You know, as we go down the list, Georgia's a trendy pick. Clemson's another trendy pick. I think a team that you should look out for is Arkansas. I think Arkansas mm-hmm. can finally get through and make it. But the fun one, which I think Oklahoma fans will be excited about, I think Jordy can carry Nebraska.
I'm really glad you mentioned that. Jordy Ball
can carry Nebraska there. And I think it would be like, imagine how cool it would be for everybody involved in that story for Nebraska to end up in Oklahoma City. Jordy back there facing her former team, potentially. Like, the storylines write themselves, but that would be incredible.
I'm glad you mentioned Nebraska because I do think, like, as much as Jordy Ball established herself last year as the best pitcher in softball, I do think that move to Nebraska, just because Nebraska didn't have the best season last year, mm-hmm. I do actually think they're being overlooked a little bit, even outside of Jordy Ball. Mm-hmm. I think there's some talent on that roster.
For sure.
And I think Jordy Ball is that good.
Yeah.
I really can catalyze
that team. Like, she can be a catalyst.
Yes, she can.
So
I wouldn't be surprised even if she hits a little bit for them, depending on how much they lean on her. Even Patty Gasso and that OU staff utilized her a little bit more as not only a hitter, but especially as a pinch runner last year. I'm going to be interested to see if she's utilized offensively a little bit.
I would imagine
for a Nebraska team that needs some oomph, you know?
I would imagine she would be. I mean, she's an incredible athlete. I mean, you're talking about an athlete who, I mean, I can't think of somebody. Kalani Ricketts obviously was good for Oklahoma. Good. I mean, she was fantastic for Oklahoma. I think she can do it all. Jordy Ball can literally, she can run the bases. She has power. She can also hit, you know, she's not just somebody that can go opposite field, but she can also play the hit. She's not just, I mean, she's just a great athlete. And then what she does in the circle is next level. So,
How conflicted are OU fans going to be if that if they see Nebraska. I mean, not conflicted, but like
it would be.
How surreal would that be?
It would be surreal, and it would be tough to root against her. I mean, she's a very easy person to root for.
Well, and I think fans. Look, the initial shock of her departure. I mean, there was buzz a couple of days before it was announced, but I think even the fact that there was buzz and then it happened was shocking. And I think it did hurt OU fans, I think, a lot. But I do think there was also this other, and I think understandably so. I mean, good. She was incredible last year. She was amazing. But then I think of going home and maybe, you know, that idea of how much that means to her and kind of getting that program back. I think OU fans are going to wish Jordy Ball well for the most part, but playing against her, do some of those better initial feelings, do they come? I think that would be,
they probably do a little bit. I think OU fans have been through a lot the last couple. I mean, you lost a future Heisman winner. In football, like hate to bring that up, but like that's the only comparison I can think of. You've lost the best player in their respective sport a couple of years in a row. Like that, I mean, that's tough. That's hard to deal with.
Well, OU is, look, they got Kelly Maxwell from Oklahoma State, who has an argument as arguably the most decorated player in Oklahoma State softball history. I'm not just arguably she is. She's amazing. She's incredible. That series isn't going to be played in Stillwater, but that's going to be pretty dang hard for Oklahoma State fans to watch that series when it happens, especially with. I mean, there's clearly still bitterness from an Oklahoma State perspective. There's no question about that.
I think that one is going to be a little ugly from the Oklahoma State side of things.
Yeah, it is. I think talking about all this, like softball continues to grow. It's grown every year. Man, if you're not a softball fan, this is, I can't. Hello, Sooner. I'm kidding. I apologize. We experienced some delays in the middle of our recording. My Wi-Fi went out all of a sudden.
No, I'm kidding.
You legitimately got me for like 2 seconds. Oh, I'm using my hotspot for people out there. And it's so funny because we were about to wrap up the pod anyways. Thanks, Cox Communications and Wireless Connectivity for giving us our first technical difficulties on the Oklahoma drill. We're making history on the pod after several months. First technical difficulties. Brian, as I was saying, I think this really well thought out, full of wisdom speech that I was giving to wrap things up. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I think if you're not an OU softball fan, this is the time to hop in. If you're not a fan, if you're not following college softball in general, the landscape, this is the time to do it. I think Big 12 softball, softball around the country, there's no better time to hop in than this year. There's so many storylines, so much parity, right?
I would ask, if you're not already an OU softball fan, like,
what are you doing?
Like, why? if you're going to hop in now. But yeah, I mean, yeah, softball right now is as good as it's ever been. It's fantastic. And I think some of that can be attributed to, it's kind of like the Nick Saban effect in college football. Like, Patty Gasso has changed the way that college softball programs do things. And you're seeing the sport as a whole elevate because of that.
OU softball is going for a fourth straight national championship
and
eighth overall. It's bonkers. It's just insane. It is going to be fun to cover yet another softball season, a quest for more history for Oklahoma. We will have you covered here on the Oklahoma Drill and on the OU and over at OUinsider.com the entire season, starting tomorrow or today when you hear this at the Puerto Vallarta Classic. We will have you covered there, and we will have you covered all season. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe on the OU Insider YouTube channel. If you're not a VIP member over at OUinsider.com, just like Brian asked with why you're not an OU softball fan, why are you not a VIP subscriber?
Why?
Those are two questions. Why? Why are you not? If you're not either or both of those, you should be both of those things. This is the time to do it. No better time to do it than right now. Parallels to OU softball and the OU Insider team. We'll have you covered all season long. We'll be back on the Oklahoma Drill next week to to review, analyze, break down OU softball's first few games. We'll be back with you next week. See you then.